Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, January 6th, as we come back from a long vacation. Well, it's been a long holiday, but we've been here doing the show and everything. So thank you for joining us. Jen is not here today. She's busy. And I do have a guest in the studio. If you guys want to check us out on Facebook, you can go to LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook and see us there. I'm joined by Mr. Ilan Azulay. Welcome to the show, Ilan.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're welcoming me.
I was like, am I Jen?
I know, because
I'm Jen.
Because you used to doing your own show, and you're used to welcoming people.
Yeah,
so today you're my guest, so there you go.
Okay.
Ilan is a good friend of mine, and he's also got a show here on Sundays at 12, right?
Sundays at 12.
Sundays at noon.
It's called Abracadabra, Create What You Speak.
There you go. And tell us a little bit about what the show is about.
Well, I am a spiritual mentor and a sound therapist, and I work to empower people. That's my mission. And so the program takes a spiritual look at everything in life. And this is how I believe that everything in life, everything that happens in the physical realm, has a spiritual reason and a spiritual source. And I use sound and Tibetan bowls and voice and
sounds
guidance.
Good. And you get some interesting guests and everything.
Yeah,
I get pretty cool
guests, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Well, we're happy to have you here.
Yeah,
you've been with us, what, for a year already almost?
Actually, a year and a half. I remember in my
own life. A year and a half already?
June 2018. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
18? Time flies, 2018. Right?
Yeah, 2018. Yeah. My birthday, I said, you know what? I'm going to give myself this.
Yeah, very nice, man.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
Well, we'd love to have you here, of course.
I'd love to be here.
And here. We're good friends and stuff. You were, I guess, you were referred to me by another friend.
By another friend, yeah.
On Facebook, and then you came here, and we became friends, which is
cool, I don't know. Right? I don't know. I don't know what's your definition of friends, but
a friend is a friend.
we have sometimes weird sense of humor.
Yeah, I suppose we do. So, well, that's
hey,
cool.
Everybody.
So that's what you do pretty much. You're a healer,
yes.
And you
so,
do those kind of things. And
well, I work to do the best so you can be at the best.
Right.
You know, and it comes through different modalities. People think that to help people, you have to be actually being a coach or a therapist or something, but you can do whatever you're doing. Like, so I'm doing also documentary. I'm playing now in an Israeli play in the theater.
Yeah.
That is premiering this week.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's
huh?
pretty cool.
You've been working hard on that thing.
It's been a lot of 6 months of rehearsals. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I remember you asking me if I wanted to be in it. Are you crazy? I would never have been able to do that.
No. You wouldn't be able. Oh, it's distorting. You wouldn't be able to.
Turn it down a little bit.
You wouldn't be able to do that because. I don't know.
No, you're too low anyway. Here, right?
Yeah, let me take this one.
No, you're fine. It's just if you were too low, I need to lower it a little bit. Go ahead.
Well, I don't think that you would with the schedule and everything,
right,
be able to commit to that.
No, I would not be able to.
To commit, yeah.
I can't commit to anything like this. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's really. That's really, if you have something going on, a regular gig or something, or work,
yeah,
you can't, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
So I'll be the audience instead.
Yes.
I'll check it out and everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I would be with acting anyway. I don't know if I can be somebody else.
Look. Everybody, almost everybody in the theater, almost everybody in the play is mostly is not professional.
Right.
There are maybe a couple, the co-director and another one or two persons.
Right.
The director, of course, and the co-director and another one or two people that actually studied acting.
Right.
But other than that, people that are daily a mechanic, really a great and you see and you see this transformation.
Right.
It's amazing. I've seen several renditions of the show online because it's an known Israeli show from the 90s.
Oh, I see. So you guys are redoing this pretty
We're
much.
We're redoing a show that is called Mevaker Amdina, like State Inspector, right?
Right.
It's a comedy. It's a crazy comedy about corruption in City Hall, which is, I guess, it never...
That's universal, right?
That's universal.
That happens everywhere.
It's at all times the same thing. and it's great. And you have a cast that came together from all walks of
life
pretty much. Israelis, all Israelis. But you see, after seeing so many renditions of that show,
I was
really, really... happily surprised.
Really?
Not surprised, but happy about the
results.
Right,
you guys are doing good.
We're
good
doing
job.
Really, it's really great. It's really great. It's a really professional show. It's full show. There is a lot of things going on, a lot of funny stuff, and it's really funny.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I like that.
So I pumped you up.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that. But of course, if you don't speak Hebrew, you're not going to be there. It won't make much sense to you. Have you, you know, speaking about that, did you hear about that new show on Netflix called Messiah?
I just saw the
trailer?
No, not even the trailer. Well, I don't remember if I saw the trailer.
Right. You should. It's pretty good. And I don't get into any TV shows at all, but I thought, let me try and get into something, right? And this is pretty good, actually. You know, it's an Arab Arab actor, and he plays a Muslim.
Uh-huh.
And he leads people out of Syria, and then he gets caught in Israel and put in jail, and then he disappears and shows up somewhere else. And it's pretty cool.
It's pretty like a modern Messiah.
Right, kind of thing, you know? So, and I saw in the previews, he ends up in the States and everything. So people are trying to figure out what the hell he's about, you know?
I see.
So it's pretty cool. They had some Israeli actors and stuff.
It's probably a co-production.
Yeah, it is, you know, they tried to, they even let the American actress speak in Hebrew, and it sounded terrible because you couldn't understand what she was saying.
And she was supposedly an Israeli or
No, American? No, she's an American, but she went to Israel to investigate, and supposedly she knows another language, right?
Oh, okay.
But you could tell she doesn't really know it. You know, she rehearsed it. So it doesn't sound.
Well, what can you do?
It happens. It happens. I believe I would be the same way if I had to speak Russian or something, you know.
If that's what you do in life, you're an actor, so you're trained at imitating or doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Right, yeah. You know, talking about actors, did you watch the Golden Globes last night? Did you hear about, what's his name, Rick Gervais?
Ricky Gervais. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I didn't either, but Ricky Gervais was the presenter, and he did a monologue.
Yeah.
And I heard about it a lot, that he put everybody down for their politics, all of Hollywood. He put everybody down. And I'm really curious about hearing this. Do you want to hear a few minutes of this?
Sure.
I haven't heard it, so I don't know. I just saw some quotes.
I don't know if you'll have a job now in L.A., but who knows?
Well, but I'm not the one who's saying this.
That's right.
Plus, he says, I guess this is his fifth time on the show.
Yeah.
And he's not planning to come back anymore, so he could get away with
this. Oh, so he could do that, right? Yeah. Okay.
But I'm really curious because, I feel that these people celebrating themselves in all these award shows are just full of themselves, you know?
Did you hear what you said? They're celebrating themselves.
Right. That's what it is, you know? They're celebrating themselves.
Yeah, it's like, I'm good, I'm great, happy. I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world. Who are you? I don't know. Leave me alone.
Exactly. But we're famous, we're rich, and we know everything, you know? He was here, and he put them in their place. Let's hear a couple minutes of
sure,
this.
Sure.
77th Annual Golden Globe Awards, live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel here in Los Angeles. I'm Ricky Gervais. Thank you. You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting these awards, so I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did. NBC clearly don't care either. Fifth time. So, I mean, Kevin Hart was fired from the Oscars because of some offensive tweets. Hello? Lucky for me, the Hollywood Foreign Press can barely speak English. and they've no idea what Twitter is. So I got offered this gig by fax. So let's go out with a bang. Let's have a laugh at your expense, shall we? Remember, they're just jokes. We're all going to die soon, and there's no sequel. So, yeah, remember that. But you all look lovely, all dolled up. You came here in your limos. I came here in a limo tonight, and the license plate was made by Felicity Huffman. So, no, shush. It's her daughter I feel sorry for, okay? That must be the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to her. And her dad was in Wild Hogs. So, lots of big celebrities here tonight. I mean, legends, icons, yeah? Look, at this table alone, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. But Baby Yoda. Oh, that's Joe Pesci, sorry. I love you, man. Don't have me whacked. But tonight isn't just about the people in front of the camera. In this room are some of the most important TV and film executives in the world, people from every background, but they all have one thing in common. They're all terrified of Ronan Farrow. He's coming for you. He's coming for you.
Is.
Look,
people are not
talking
laughing.
Of all you perverts, it was a big year. It was a big year for paedophile movies. Surviving R. Kelly, Leaving Neverland, Two Popes. Shut up. Shut up. I don't care. I don't care. Many talented people of colour were snubbed in major categories. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about that. The Hollywood Foreign Press are all very, very racist. So, fifth time. So,
people are looking at him, not believing
what
he's
saying. We were
going
to do an in memoriam this year, but when I saw the
wait, he hasn't even gotten
it. It wasn't diverse enough.
No,
it just no.
Boy. He hasn't started.
It was mostly white people, and I thought, nah, not on my watch. Maybe next year. Let's see what happens. No one cares about movies anymore. No one goes to the cinema. No one really watches network TV. Everyone's watching Netflix. This show should just be me coming out going, well done, Netflix, you win everything. Good night. But no, no, we got to drag it out for 3 hours. You could binge watch the entire first season of Afterlife instead of watching this show. That's a show about a man. Spoiler alert, season two is on the way. So in the end, you got your own way here in your own plane, didn't you? Right. But seriously, most films are awful, lazy, remakes. Sequels. I've heard a rumour there might be a sequel to Sophie's Choice. I mean, that'd just be Meryl Streep going, well, it's got to be this one then. Okay. Let's do Hollywood movies now. Do fantasy adventure nonsense. They wear masks and capes and really tight costumes. Their job isn't acting anymore. It's going to the gym twice a day and taking steroids, really. Have we got an award for most ripped junkie? No.
Most ripped junkie.
No point. We know he'd win that. Martin Scorsese, the greatest living director, made the news for his controversial comments about the Marvel franchise. He said they're not real cinema and they remind him of theme parks. I agree. Although I don't know what he's doing hanging around theme parks. He's not big enough to go on the rides, is he? He's tiny. Right. The Irishman was amazing. It was okay, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, nearly 3 hours long. Leonardo.
I want him to get to the politics.
Even Prince Andrew's like, come on, Leo, mate, you know. You're nearly 50, son. And the reviews, oh, shocking. I saw one that said, this is the worst thing to happen to cats since dogs, right? But Dame Judi Dench defended the film, saying it was the role she was born to play.
Did you hear about the bad reviews on the movie
I can't
Cats?
Do this next time.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Because she loves nothing better than plonking herself down on the carpet, lifting her leg, and licking her.
What happened? Oh, they
cut it.
They cut it out.
Oh, jeez, man.
Why? I don't know
verbal,
why. This is
verbal.
On.
Well, of course, why?
This is
because,
NBC's.
Well. As Howard Stern's WN.
It's the last time.
Yeah. Oh, of course they'll cut it. They don't want you to hear
Apple
it.
Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show. A superb drama, yeah.
Okay, there's only another minute of this, so
a
hopefully
superb
that's
drama
where
about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God. And
exactly.
No, we cut that out, yeah. He said, and go fuck yourselves, I think.
It's already 3 hours long. Right, let's do the first award. The first award.
Okay. So that's that. You know, we're waiting
like
for this.
I like him. He's funny.
He is funny, right?
He's funny.
He's very irreverent. You know?
He's the one that played this movie as a dentist, right?
I don't know.
He was
like a
depressed dentist. He plays like depressed role.
Yeah, he is. Right? Like very, very cynical about it. But somebody told them where to shove their opinions.
It's about time, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so things happening in the world and everything, and I don't know if we really want to get into the politics. Do you
want
to get into
the... I don't want
the
politics.
Hell with politics, right?
Politics
too many
is
people
like,
are talking about politics.
You know, it's like, I don't know if you remember in Israel when I was a kid, you know, when they would have these arguments, uh-huh, right? They would sit and they would argue, no, he did this. At that time, it was Begin. It was Sharon. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I was like, what's the point? We're sitting here. We were a bunch of kids. We're sitting there. And I never saw the point or the reason to waste the energy, because am I going to change his mind? Right. What is going to happen? What's going
nobody's
to do?
Listening.
Nobody's listening.
Right, exactly.
When
there's political arguments, everybody's taking their side. They're not listening to the other side. They're not going to change minds.
But this was when we were kids. I mean, now...
Right,
I mean,
but politics is still
arguments.
The same way, you know?
It is.
People have beliefs and they're not going to change the other side.
Most of the time it's true. Yeah. You know the easiest... People that are intelligent, uh-huh, are easier convinced than
really
those that are, because you know, you think about things,
right?
You're that makes sense. Well, that doesn't make sense. Somebody who is, let's say, not educated or something, somebody that is just like, well, this is what I do. That's it. You know.
Right. But then, I don't know. I think in politics,
it's
a lot with feelings too, you know, and people involve their feelings in this, and they start. I mean, I don't know if social media is really a representation of how people are, but if it is, it's pretty pathetic, you know, because people after two comments, they all start with name calling and shit.
You know what it's like? It's like in the, I don't know if it's here, but in like in the soccer games. Right?
Yeah, right.
We're suddenly a fan of the other group starts. They start going fights,
right,
with other groups.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
What's the?
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Exactly.
They got some little thing bottled up. So they mm-hmm. have to express that
to release.
Know?
Yeah.
But so politics is
Yeah, I know. We won't get into that because we probably agree with everything. So
not we don't agree on everything, but
but we probably do on politics. No,
some of them.
Are you a leftist? Are you on the left?
Oh, jeez. Just let's move on.
Okay. I don't know, because if you're not, we'd be fine. But the similar situation to here is happening in Israel right now, where there's such a division between the right and the left that nobody's getting anywhere.
Yeah, there is a division. It's not just the right and the left. It's the top and the bottom, too.
Mm.
It's not just right. It's alienating. It's funny. Yesterday I was talking about in my program about kids' alienation.
Uh-huh.
About parents that are experienced, and my guest was about parent alienation.
Right.
And it's just like that. It's like national alienation. This is what is happening. Mm-hmm. They split the cuts of society.
Mm-hmm.
It's creating this division between the cuts of society.
Right.
Right?
Right.
it's just crazy. So yeah. It's creating this cut by encouraging certain things and certain things not encouraging, and encouraging the other things not, and you're creating a tear between the people. Mm-hmm. And then people walk down the streets, and it's like a soccer game. If you don't like this, then I'm going to punch you out. It's like, what are we back to? Are we back to monkey time?
Right.
I mean, not that we were monkeys, but are we back to monkey times?
Yeah, well, who knows, you know?
Do you think we were monkeys?
Do I think we were monkeys? it's possible that we evolved from them. I
do you
know.
Think so?
Well, I don't know.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they said oh, that we have like the 99% gene of the rhesus, right? You can trace it from up to down because there are all the ingredients, right?
Right.
But you cannot trace it from down up.
Okay.
Because it stops. It doesn't continue further to the evolution of humanity if you try to trace it from. So there is so much things to that. It's not just a 2 seconds discussion of that.
But it's anyway. Possible. I mean, you know, life has been around for 100,000 years, you know, so yeah.
For a lifetime.
So you never know, you know. I don't know what to tell you about monkeys, but
I love monkeys.
Sometimes I feel like we're all monkeys.
We are. I love monkeys. I was born in the monkey year, the Chinese monkey year.
Really?
Yeah. I love monkeys. They're cute. They're intelligent.
Yeah. What year were you born?
In the monkey year.
Right.
68.
68. Oh, wow.
68 is a monkey year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A monkey year. I think I was the year of the rat or something, 1960. I don't know what the fuck that means. But.
Well, listen, every year depends on that zodiac, you know.
Right.
As a
if you believe in it, you know.
Well,
I don't know where they get their ideas.
You know, what's the meaning of life? To make meaning.
Well, maybe. You know,
it's all about what we make meaning. You get up in the morning. Yeah. You say, I want to get up. Why? Because you have a meaningful experience.
But who says we even have to have a meaning, you know? Maybe it just happened, you know?
Even when you say a banana is just a banana, it still has a meaningful banana experience.
Right.
Right? So everything has a meaning. But
we're making meaningful. You know, we're looking for a meaning. But
and if you don't like something, what do? You just walk out, right?
Right.
Because it's not meaningful to you. So if you are here in the radio station, that's meaningful to you for whatever reason.
But that's what I'm saying. That's for people, you know?
Yeah.
Animals don't care, you know? They have
they don't.
Meaning. Right. So it's people that created it.
Well,
you know?
But that's right, because animals don't have that consciousness level.
Right.
That's what makes us different from the animals. Right. So this is an example for the monkey thing. We have everything that is below us, meaning animals, solid and vegetation.
Plants, right.
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 So we have all the ingredients, but we have the extra that the ingredient that level that these levels don't have, and that's the speech and consciousness.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean, there is let me correct it. Consciousness there is, but there are different levels. But but the speech is what we have, and this is what makes us godly, because it's created by the speech, everything.
Okay, so that's a spiritual way to look at it.
Everything.
Yeah, there you go.
We can find a spiritual
way. Spiritual.
We can find a spiritual. I can find a spiritual way for a telephone.
Yeah.
Really? Because it is. But I won't go into it for you now.
Yeah. So this astronaut in Britain claims there's aliens, that aliens definitely exist, and they could be living among us on Earth.
But that's not new.
What's not new? That belief?
That's not new that they've been here on Earth, and that's not new that.
But no, that's not a fact. It's a theory.
No. If you will listen to
what do you mean? No.
Listen.
Have you seen an alien?
Well, I've seen kind of. Yes.
People that look like aliens.
Well, and this is one form of how they are. They're the Palladians, that they have special, that have certain characteristics. But if you look at ex-military from Canada, they have it all on YouTube from years ago that we're talking about, that know about where the whereabouts and in what they're serving and what they're helping in and how they're being helped and how they're guiding.
Right.
The other entities that are here to help the evolution of
Earth. How do you know that? We don't. It's a theory.
No, it's not a theory.
Okay. I mean, so I have a fact.
Look, it's a fact. It's been here all the time. It's like you walk out the door of your house and you'd never notice the yellow flower, but it was there all the time.
Right.
It's when you are making yourself aware of things, mm-hmm. and you open your, then you start seeing things, and you start hearing things,
right.
and you start reading things. Right. How do you know what's going on in a different country? You don't, because you read it. You know, I'm just giving an example.
No, absolutely, but that's what I'm saying. How do you know that there's aliens?
Well, because I read, because I saw, I have experienced right. personally, but that's a whole different story. And right. You know, and you read, and you have even those that you don't trust, the government,
right.
are coming out and saying, those are actually people that have been in the government
right.
ranks,
yeah.
and when they got out, they start revealing things.
To me, it's all theories, you know. I mean, I don't believe there's any other life form. If there is, we'll never find out because the distances in space are just so huge.
Listen.
You know, that I don't...
Listen. There was, I'll give you a fact, a story that just came to me.
Right.
In 1970, I think, it's 78, I think, Earth received, NASA received, there was sent a message. Let's start it this way. The late 80s, they decoded a message that came from a planet in the Orion belt, right?
Okay.
It took 12 years to decipher the message, about 12 or 22 years or 12 years to decipher the message,
mm-hmm.
okay? That was an SOS message. And when, after tens of years, when we arrived there, or when it was a torched planet that was similar to Earth,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
Similar. We don't know what kind of life form there was there. We don't know what happened, but quite probably similar, and looks like they annihilated themselves nuclearly.
Right.
Okay. So, what happens here? There is a saying. There is an understanding. What happens here? As it is here, so it is above. Right. Like the Magen David, the Star of David. The Star of David is Kabbalistic.
Right.
It's the star that the upside down triangle that is the masculine goes down as it. And the feminine is the one that goes up, that the receiver and the influencer. And it also talks about what is here is also there. What is there is also here, meaning that whatever we're going through now is happening in a different place in the world. So it is all connected. We're all connected. Everything. How many times do you think of somebody and they call or you talk? I mean, this is on the small level here, on the personal level. I mean, we are to that granular level. So there are, of course there are life forms. It's not new. I mean, it's not a theory.
Well, I'm saying, of course, there isn't. And you can't dispute that.
But this is not a theory.
No, but it is a theory.
Oh, well, okay.
It is a theory. You can't prove it. I mean, even the astronaut, it's a theory. It's not like a fact. You know, the thing is we can't prove it.
Okay.
I can't prove that it doesn't.
We definitely cannot prove it in a half an hour. Don't want to get too heavy.
Yeah, no. But, I don't think so. I think we're pretty much the only ones. Or if not, we're the only ones that will ever find out. Yeah.
That's a different sentence. That's a different thing.
No, but the thing is, we'll never be able to prove it. So what's the point?
So it's just theories.
You think
the entire, all the galaxies and everything is only because the human race exists?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this planet is the only one probably that can support life, and
in the form that we know it.
Okay. Well. All right.
Yeah.
So what other form would there be?
Well, you know that you have life in the Dead Sea?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant to what we're talking.
I mean, no, in the life that we know, we know what we know. And we live here with oxygen, and we need oxygen to breathe, and we need water and air and heat. And
so, I mean, would it matter if there's other life if we never find out?
I guess to us it doesn't matter because
doesn't
we
matter.
Are to us it doesn't
right.
matter.
Right, that's what I'm
now.
Saying.
But, I mean,
to humanity in general, you know.
I don't know in general, but to us here in LA in Sherman Oaks, it's you know. I would like to know. I would like to have a hello. Everybody.
I'm sure.
Another one.
Who knows? And even if they are, they probably wouldn't be like us anyway. You know, I mean, they talk about. Other life forms that could be anything, you know. So they're not going to be like humans probably anyway, you know. But who knows? Yeah, who knows?
You know but that. Well, that goes back. You know, in the times of Noah,
yeah,
there was a flood. There are external books, external Bible books,
right,
or Torah books actually, that prophet books that are talking about the Nephilim,
right?
Those that that mated with Earth, that came down during that time, and mated with Earth, and then that's how really the O minus and the O blood type started. So this is science. This is not. So those that were the minus, you know, you have like the plus and the minus, right, in the blood type.
Right.
The difference is that it talks about the different kind of proteins that are in blood cells. Mm. If there is the plus, then you have the protein. If you have the minus, that's where you're talking about the monkey. We were talking about earlier the monkey thing. The one with the plus is traced to that monkey, but the O is not traceable. And the O is traced all the way back to Noah's time, mm-hmm, to the Nephilim, to those who came, because basically those who are with the minus and the O are kind of alien, really.
Okay.
No, seriously.
All right.
And women, and women who have that and their baby is a plus, they will be getting a shot by the doctors to separate the mother from the blood or something to come together, because otherwise the mom will die, mm-hmm, if those blood types come together. It's right. Pretty interesting. It's wonderful actually. Yeah. I mean, it's wonderfully interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Both my ex-wives are aliens.
Yeah. So you were talking a little bit about parental alienation.
Yes,
that's what you were talking about with your guest yesterday, right?
Yeah.
What is that exactly?
She, Mayan Shtal. She right. is, if she's listening now, she's in Chicago actually.
Oh.
She's in Chicago. She's running. She's running. She's part of the support group. It's called Parent. United Parent Alienation, United right. Parents Group.
Okay. What's parental alienation? Explain it to people who haven't heard
of it. So parental alienation, usually you will experience, a couple would experience it when they separate, when they divorce, and they have kids.
Right. Okay.
So what is happening, the kids that are young, they are being, it's a form of a brainwash where one parent is constantly planting feelings or thoughts or talking certain ways about the other parent.
Right.
And when the child keeps learning, hearing this all the time, hearing this, you know, at 18 or 21, our body ceases, we form ourselves, right? Right. And so, and if that is not being handled and dealt with appropriately, one parent can potentially lose their child because their child will constantly believe that that parent was not a good parent, because right. the other person really put down the alienated parent,
right.
And so the problem with this, and I have women clients and couples that experience that, and the problem is also, in addition, that the legal system, despite the fact that it's fuked anyway,
yeah.
It's to the junts anyway, just like the rest of the governments that need to be torn down from the ground up.
Okay.
They don't know how to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to deal with this, so they don't know how to deal with parent alienation. And they don't have the tools, so they try to deal with... It's like corporate right. in a company. Corporate is trying to tell the IT department what they need. This corporate guy doesn't know how to operate a computer. I mean, hopefully he's not, but you know, they don't know really the field. So they're using tools that are not good. When you're dealing with parent alienation, you have to have evaluation for somebody on the third side, only for the side of the child is being accused of something.
Right.
Okay, let's do an evaluation. See how the child's energy is with the father or the mother, how the child is responding, is the child nervous, what is the parent doing, is the parent giving enough, you know, those kind of things that can help parents. I know I've been through that. Today the relationship is okay, is good, actually is very good. I'm very happy considering the circumstances. My children live two blocks away from me, and so But there is this alienation where you, when the other parent or the other parent is speaking negatively about the other person,
right?
Okay, it, whether it's, let's say, so in her case, it was the man that was talking negatively about his wife, and she because of that, two of her daughters, they have four kids, two of her daughters are really, they are in their early 20s, they really think negatively, very negatively about their mom. Now, mm-hmm. now that can get to extreme situations.
Right.
I was blessed that the things worked out, at least in one department.
Right.
And so, but I'm still experiencing it.
Really?
Yes, I'm not not with the children here.
Right.
With other children from all the other 17 marriages.
No, oh, I see. Okay.
No, but I'm experiencing with it with a different. Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm experiencing the parent alienation.
Right.
From
yeah.
My third
daughter.
And
that's terrible, you know, because people get divorced. I mean, the family's broken anyway. You know, kids don't know what's going on, but parents use the kids as collateral.
That's right.
You know, and as a tool, as a weapon against the other parent, you know.
You know where I feel the source is? The source is in the beginning of the connection of that couple.
Probably,
it's,
yeah.
It's how you get into that. If you don't have a truthful friendship relationship, a caring relationship with the other person, and you meet that person, let's say you meet that person, you will go to a party, oh, you're hot, let's make a life together, just because somebody's hot, right?
Right.
And you make a life together, and you're there for the reasons that are not sustainable in
right.
a relationship, then you are creating more little papitos that
right.
are not sustainable for the
well,
relationship.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that you don't really want to marry anybody before you really know them, you know, and many people do, but the thing is, I think if you meet someone who's a halfway decent human being, then you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you have to.
And even when you get angry, you know? I mean,
absolutely.
You get angry,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. It's about, you see, look, the anger. You get angry. I mean, did you stop to think about why you get angry? Like somebody upsets you. You know, if you think about it when you're not angry,
uh-huh.
that's the trick. Thinking about it when you're not angry, because when we're angry, it's like, it's like in Kabbalah, it says you are out of this world.
Right.
The blood rushes to the head. You're like, you know.
You're not thinking.
You're not thinking. Healthy, you're not
yeah.
thinking. You're not thinking because you are in a different world.
Right.
It takes
reacting,
you out of the world.
Yeah. Right.
And so, but when you're angry, it's really falling into those. That's why I said in the beginning to understand that everything has a spiritual reason and cause. Everything that is happening. You know, even communication. Why is this happening? Where is my? What can we learn? What can we get from this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you are honest in your relationship, if you are, that anger many times comes because there is something that we don't want to hear. We don't want to listen. So we get angry. Somebody tells us something. We don't want to listen.
Right.
But if you have the honest relationship from the beginning, a relationship where you spill out everything, or you're not hiding stuff, you know, then I don't. Then I think the anger factor will go to the least point, because if you are in a place where you can cultivate such kind of a relationship, you are also in a place where anger doesn't really has a great hold in your life.
Right.
You know, you can experience it. You know, let it. But you realize where it's coming from. You realize where it is,
yeah.
And you can let it go, and you can let it go, or can channel it in a different way.
Right. So yeah, it's pretty unhealthy, and I feel
life.
Bad for parents that are like that. I mean, I've felt it to a certain extent, but I feel that it could have been a lot worse. You know?
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
And I mean, I think it's almost natural or normal for the custodial parent to more to influence the kids, even if they don't mean to. You know, just the way they feel about the other parent, and the kids feel it. You know, it.
You know, I had a client that here in LA, and I also help the especially women in the legal system navigate through that, because I'm familiar with the way how it works here.
Right.
But I had a client that is an example of many things. Many times it happens,
right,
that the parents, either or the parents, are trying to control what is happening at the other side's mm-hmm. at the other parent's house.
Right.
And that is so unproductive, and it is also at times very it'll backfire.
Right.
Because this is without knowing. It's like, oh, what did mom say about me? Oh, what did dad say? Oh, did you show it to dad? What did he say? Or the, you know, if you have a good relationship, it's all good. But if you have this tension, without knowing, the kid is starting to feel responsible for how the other person is going to feel.
Right.
Because it depends what I'm going to say. That if I tell my mom that dad didn't like it, she's going to be upset.
Right.
And then she's going to put it on me. So I'm not going. I want to make them happy. I want to make her. You know, so it becomes. The parent alienation is a self-growth on steroids.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It's really because you if you're allowing it, you mm-hmm. open yourself up to learn how to be in with this little man or this little woman, your child, right?
Mm-hmm.
How to be in that space. And it's important in this situation with the alienation to focus on yourself.
Right.
So you can look straight and not be moved by, this attorney sent me this or this attorney sent me that. There are things to handle and there are things how to handle them.
Right. You know? And it's unfortunate because in many divorces, you know, the kids suffer a lot. There's a lot of hatred and animosity between the parents.
I know.
And that's sad, you know, for the kids. And, you know, nobody wins in a divorce. And you want to try and make it as easy as possible for the kids, but people don't put the kids before themselves.
No, but even by you saying winning, there is I don't. That's the thing. It became who is a winner, who is a loser.
Right. There is none.
There is none.
Yeah.
There is none. There were two people that were together.
Right. And you're breaking down a family. I mean, there's nothing good about it.
Listen, I still have, you know, I have that. I have this. I'm experiencing till this day parent alienation with my...
Really?
With my third daughter.
Mm. Yeah.
It's the two people that came together, okay? Mm-hmm. Both at the same... At that time, at a certain place in their journey.
Right.
You come together, and then you separate. And then you have a child in the middle. And that person may be upset, or I may be upset, or she may be, or whatever. But there is this person in the middle. And it just shows that the beginning of the connection wasn't...
It wasn't healthy. Stable from the beginning.
It wasn't stable. Yeah. And that's because people are not in their full truth or happy with themselves or see themselves. And I was at that time, that's where I was. I was like a tin can, you know?
Yeah.
Like an empty tin can in the shore that the wave moves from here to here, you know? Yeah. But hey.
Yeah.
We all were tin cans.
Yeah.
At some point.
I guess so, huh? So,
Maybe that's the Tin Man. What did they think from the Oz? You know the movie The Oz?
Wizard of Oz?
Like, I forgot but there is the analogy for the Tin Man.
Yeah, there's an analogy for all of them, but I don't even remember the story. In fact, all I remember is when I was taken to that movie when I was very young by my aunt. I still remember it to this day. And the movie scared me, I guess. So we left in the middle of the movie. I must have been very young, maybe 5 years old something. And I was just scared and we left it at that.
You're scared of the Tin Man.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know who I was scared of. But I don't even remember. But I do remember that... I decided never to see that movie, and there's nothing that appeals to me about that.
I lived 7 years in Kansas.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I looked for Dorothy. She died a long time ago.
Yeah, you're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, and Toto was adopted, and then he died.
Oh, well, what can I tell you, you know?
Man, Kansas, I don't know, I've been there 7 years, man.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been like...
What was that like?
I realized how depressed I was only when I left it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting place to be from.
From Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv. I went to Kansas.
You went to Kansas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez.
Not one of the most popular places to go to.
No, but
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's got its good things. I can't say.
Listen,
about
I'm grateful. You know, it's like I went from I did 180 degrees from Tel Aviv to Kansas City.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And I'm really grateful because I feel that my growth went like
right
versus if I would stay in LA. But yeah, hey, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to regret anything in your life. Everything you did is part of
also we
can.
So we cannot change it. Here's the thing.
Right.
Do people say when people say, you know what? I'm so happy. I will never change anything in my life. I will never. Blah, 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 blah. Do they say it because they really feel that, or because they convince themselves because there is no choice to change it anyway?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Good question.
You know.
Yeah.
We convince ourselves, but if you now had a button.
Uh-huh.
You had sitting you there a button says, listen, you don't know what's going to be there.
Right.
But you can give up this.
Right.
Would you do that?
Yeah.
But you don't know what you're going to be there.
I'm happy in my life. I'm good.
I got you.
That's true. But you take a chance. You know, if you're a risk taker,
you can be.
You don't know what's going to be there, but you take a chance.
You can be in prison there.
No, that's true.
Or it can be a rock.
But you take a chance. You could also be a king.
You can be. You could
so
be, yeah.
That's what gamblers do. You know, I'm not a gambler, you know. I go pretty much for a sure thing, so.
Okay.
All right. Ilan Azulay, thank you so much for joining
me,
man.
Thanks, Sam. It was good being here.
Always fun to talk to you and stuff. And if you are Hebrew speaking, go and see his show. Starts.
Yeah, it's the state inspector, but if you speak Hebrew, then you already know about the show.
Right, because
if you're listening to this program, it's all
stuff.
Over social media, all over right. LA. It's also in Israel. It's
good. Well, congratulations to you. Maybe it's going to open the door for you for more.
Well, for more stuff, working on the documentary
that.
It's a bunch of things going on. It's wonderful.
Awesome.
It's great. Thank
God. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. See you all tomorrow.
Ta-ta.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.